Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy D'Asolo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanell here, clocking in. It is a good morning. We're starting the day. I rode a brontosaurus's neck into the office, I think. We're treating today like a real job. We're here starting at 9:34, like most people do at work.
Yeah. Slinking in, hoping the bus doesn't notice.
Yes.
But I noticed. I'm the bus, Adam Knox.
You're the bus baby.
I'm the bus baby.
We were chewing it up about that explosive royal family interview around the water cooler.
Yes.
And then we saw Adam come out of his corner office and we thought, better get to our desks and look busy.
Nah, but I'm the cool boss. I walked up and I was like, hey.
I think she's lying.
She seems like she's acting because she's an actor. I guess that's in my head for some reason. Patreon.com/filthycasuals.
Pod.
Yeah.
We'll probably talk about that. Yeah. I had an actual argument with my mum, a staunch monarchist.
Right. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
I think
is my mum, by the way. I'm Prince Adam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's when you get five rings
bolts
in your penis.
In your dick, Look, let's save this for the Patreon because it is an interesting, not only the interview itself, but I think everyone around the world would have had a similar experience of hopping on the phone with the parents in the days after and thinking, ah, Christ, here we go.
Ring, 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 ring. What about the Commonwealth? You want to support it? I had a migraine yesterday. Normally we record on Wednesday.
Yeah, so we're doing this in the morning after the day that we normally do it.
Yeah.
We had to postpone. You hopped in the group chat and you were like, boys, I'm feeling under the weather. Can we do this tomorrow?
I'm too angry about the royals.
It literally blew my head off.
And then,
we're
like...
How could she fuck over the queen like that? The queen is my grandma. Mm-hmm.
Said what are they meant to do for work? How are they going to get money?
I can't believe these royals accepted all this money they didn't deserve, according to me, which is money they worked for rather than got paid by the anyway.
You dropped in the group chat that you had a migraine.
Yeah.
We rescheduled this. We said, hope you feel better. Take the day to rest up. Then we get here. We walk in the door. And first thing you say to us, boys, I've finished the Infinity Machine.
Oh, yeah. But that was days ago. That was...
It was pretty damning evidence, I have to say.
Who knew what triggered this migraine? Anyway, I spent about a week looking at these screens, making sure they worked. No, I still have it a bit, by the way. So, like, that's why I bring it up is to be like, I'm going to be annoying.
Right.
And
listeners won't know the difference.
I also have a migraine. we got a quick little demo. That's what we were doing, fannying around for 30 minutes before we hit record. We were given a brief demo of the Infinity Machine in action.
She's finished. She's alive.
I'm looking at a Nintendo 64 that I assume is rigged up as part of it.
It is. I plugged a Nintendo 64 into my TV.
It's got every game I want to play.
Elmo's Learning Adventure. Grover's Learning Adventure. I believe there were several Sesame Street games.
They're like the Pokemons where, you know, they came out at the same time you had to pick.
Red and blue, baby.
Elmo or Grover. So you've got the HDMI switcher there, and you've also it's rigged up to the computer, so you can do some beautiful screen recording.
We don't need to air my dirty laundry to the world like you're a regular Meghan Markle over here.
Oh, if I wanted to air your dirty laundry, I'd talk about the pile of dirty dishes that's in your sink.
Yeah, it's not a big pile. It just looks bigger because one of the dishes is like an oven tray.
Once you have a once you have like a pan or something.
You don't have any plates. You just eat off an oven tray.
Yeah. How do you eat? What do you do to live?
Once you have a pan or a tray or something that doesn't just neatly fit in the sink and it's kind of sticking at the edge, it just looks bad no matter how. Even if that's the only thing in there, it looks like your house is just in complete disarray.
You know what's ruined my life is having a dishwasher. Right. Because she only shows up on Thursday.
Nice.
No, it's a small dishwasher.
Yeah, you've
it's
got a drawer. A dish drawer, yeah.
And I just never want to hand wash dishes anymore.
Right.
But something the size of an oven tray, you gotta.
Yep.
But you know how easy it is to put off? Your body will force itself to get a migraine rather than dealing with the indignity of cleaning something that you made dirty.
This is one of those interestingly designed apartments where there's technically not a window in your bedroom into like the outside.
Yeah.
But there is a dishwasher.
Right.
It's architectural priorities just kind of blow my mind.
Do humans need breath or clean dishes more?
Quicker, slightly quicker clean dishes.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Well, look, if Bloomberg is to be believed, then something that you may be rigging up to the Infinity Machine outboard.
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later.
That's like the machine. I realized that I was mainly doing a hand motion to describe what. Anyway, I was making it seem like the machine was. It's two HDMI cords.
That's
the Infinity Machine.
I bought into the hype. Like the whole idea of it being an Infinity Machine. I thought we were going to walk
crank
in here.
That I've got to turn.
And the apartment would look radically different.
All those like Willy Wonka lights where it's like. Burr, burr, whiz, whiz, those accordion looking things pumping up and down.
Yeah. You got instead, flux capacitor on there.
Instead, it's just a bunch of old people in bed. That's the bit from Willy Wonka that you've taken.
I've just top and tailed a Nintendo 64, a PlayStation. And you got to imagine that they all have group sex.
Exactly.
You have to assume.
Yeah.
It means I'll be streaming stuff again soon, which will be fun. So if you want to go follow my Twitch channel, it's currently named Adam Knox Real and Official, but I'll probably change that name.
To Migraine King.
Yeah, the king of migraines. I'm the headache guy. So if you want to watch, I'll be doing some of that stuff soon.
Mm-hmm.
We'll record more videos off of it.
Yep.
For our YouTube channel.
Yep.
youtube.com/C/filthycasuals.
Yeah, get on there. And
we wanted to have that C, by the way. We requested
we requested it. Yeah, our username is C/filthycasuals.
So the
prefix is just youtube.com/
C://
Yes.
But that's what you do when you see Slash's asshole reflected in a mirror. I should have said the guitarist from Guns N' Roses.
No, it's okay. I was already trying to think of a guitarist from Guns N' Roses one.
That's the best one.
C/live and when he does performances.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah. C/live.
Yeah.
He could have done way more with that colon thing that you've got to put in
and
a computer.
And the slash thing. It's just his name. He never does any puns with it.
Yeah, no. He's always like, please. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, people come up to him at a party. He's like, I promise you, before you even start, I've heard them all.
Yeah.
All right, leave me alone.
And then if you go, okay, what about C:// is when I see your butthole in a mirror, and he's like, heard it 100 times.
Yeah. Absolutely. Man, on the Filthy Casuals podcast that I listened to, this one particular episode I listened to
100 times.
No, well, I think we've said it about 3 times by now. Yeah, so he's listened to it 33 times,
right. Yeah.
And then one recurring time.
Yeah,
he listened to it loop
one more time, but he was like, "Actually, I've listened to this enough." Turned it off partway in.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we're all here.
But yeah, report in Bloomberg during the week that I think got picked up by a lot of outlets about the long rumored Switch Pro.
There were some other of those like Nintendo rumor Twitter people who were like, yep, this is definitely what I've heard too. Mm.
But there was something, you know, very similar to this probably a year ago at least, I think, that was a very credible reported on, not just like speculation is, but, you know, this is happening.
Yeah.
Like an article that is just like, no, this is confirmed.
The thing being?
A Switch Pro. And the latest one is that it's they have Samsung making the screens for them. It'll be able to output at 4K. It'll be a slightly bigger screen. that'll still be 720p, but a bit brighter, better battery life.
Smaller bezels, so yeah, bigger screen. Yeah. So assuming that means the same like form factor, but...
Yeah.
Form factor was the much more boring version of Joe Rogan's show, the Joe Rogan book, Fear Factor.
Yeah.
Right.
Bring back the headache. Get out of my head.
What do people do in that one?
They got a
Fear Factor was people like eating snakes and stuff like that.
You got to watch people do really good posture.
Okay.
It makes me feel a bit bad because my posture's not as good as that guy's, but you know, easy $50,000.
What about this? Actually, this isn't bad. What about this? So, contestants standing there, line of people in front of them.
Yeah.
And they're all facing them, right?
Okay.
So you can't quite tell from the angle you're on what the posture's like. Mm. And you have to pick who's got the worst posture.
Right.
And then all the chairs spin around at once, so then they're on the side and you can see the curvature of the spine.
Like reverse the voice.
Yes.
When the chairs spin, that's how it gets revealed to.
No, reverse the voice and also like only a quarter of it because they're not spinning.
Yeah.
They're not spinning all the way around.
That'd be great if you like, if someone looked like they had great posture and then it turns and their neck is just at a 90 degree angle.
Yeah.
All right, copyright. We're going to produce that show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or it's a YouTube show where they review chairs.
Yeah.
Form factor.
Or like tax stuff.
Oh, you got to fill out forms.
I had to fill out a tax form.
Yeah.
Yep.
Many people do.
Well, maybe
it's a relatable experience.
I filled out a form. Yeah.
maybe it changes every week. You know, who dares wins? He's not out there doing the same dare every week.
He kind of was.
Well,
it was
more
always
or less.
Jump over some bullshit.
Yeah,
but
you know,
eat
you
a big
get...
ice cream quickly.
Yeah, stick it.
I feel like that was one.
I still remember there was just a bowl of spaghetti, and he was like, "Put your hand in this bowl of spaghetti." And everyone was like, "Yeah, okay."
Yeah, next week, drive this monster truck over your grandma.
Yeah, but for now. the conflicting stuff about this one. So yeah, there's been the rumors for a while of like they're doing in the way that they've done like the DSi and the new 3DS and that sort of stuff in the past, that there'll be a new Switch. But also with this stuff, they're like, maybe it's actually just the screen is getting an improvement.
Yeah, I think I saw a lot of speculation about the dock. Like, oh, is the dock going to be better? Is it going to output at 4K or not? I hadn't seen like quote unquote confirmation on that.
That's one of the only confirmed things is that the dock that it's outputting at 4K
right
is the big thing.
But I think it might not have any more power in the actual thing.
Oh yeah, right.
So like it'll be able to do a 4K signal, but like nothing will be capable of that.
Well, yeah. Right. So this report doesn't specifically mention any of that, which is why people are speculating that maybe it's not. But I think it's because the whole point of this report is that they've actually got the inside info about the screens. Mm, the screens are being manufactured. Samsung's making them for them.
Yeah. Like
they're shipping
in July.
Out to July. Yeah. So I think they just haven't mentioned the hardware because that's the thing that they don't have the actual scoop on. That they would still be speculating. That's kind of how I read it because, I mean... Yeah, it would be pretty insane to do all this stuff, to do a revision, to revise the screen and not have at least a little more power under the hood.
Well,
is Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. And they did that quiet update where it just had a better battery life that sort of stuff at one point. So it could be that, but also there's also reports of like dev kits are going out to developers.
Yeah.
Which would suggest that there's a different setup inside of the Switch.
Yeah.
And those,
why else would you need a new
thing? Those pretty definitive reports that were around a year ago were all based on, hey, this is what we hear. Nintendo is working on an upgraded, more powerful Switch that's going to launch this year, was the rumor at the start of 2020. So kind of if you take them both together, I think it's just Bloomberg only commenting on, here's the thing that we've actually got a confirmed verified source on. The other stuff we would assume, but that's not what we're writing about here.
And what if you would go on what Nintendo has said, which was like, what, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? There is no new Switch coming out anytime soon.
Yeah, if you go on what Nintendo said, it's shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Stop asking.
Stop emulating us. Shit.
Yeah. We're suing
Don't
you
stream
for
this.
Even talking about us.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
When a Filthy Casuals recording, we need to do another direct. Let's do it 1 hour afterwards.
But they said nothing, no new Switch anytime soon. But I would say July, August, September is soon in the scheme of things. So,
well, end of the year makes sense for like if they're getting these screens from July, they're not going to want to wait that much longer before they put them into something, right? Like, that'll be when they're expecting to have their thing ready.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the usual time between manufacture of a product and shipping of a product is. If it's anything like podcasts, possibly 30 minutes.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
So
we'll get the screens on September 27 and then we'll have it out that night.
Yeah. Unless one of us leaves the house and forgets, which happened one time and I still have nightmares about. So.
Oh no, we left all the slurs in.
God, I'm such a... So, yeah, it does seem like it's happening. It also has seemed like it's happening for a year. It makes complete sense with Nintendo's past behavior for it to happen. So I'm very ready.
Yeah, I'm ready for it, even if it is only a minor upgrade. I mean, that would be a little disappointing, but I'm, you know, I've had mine for since it came out. I've taken it all heaps of places. Like, it's, you know, it's still in fine shape, but you know, it's showing its age a bit. It's got a little bit of wear and tear here and there. So I'd love to get a freshie and do a full upgrade. Mm.
It was a 4-year anniversary of it coming out, I guess, like a week
over the week,
a day ago.
Weekend. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, I have a theory that the reason we haven't seen more of things like Bayonetta, Breath of the Wild 2 and Metroid Prime is that they're gonna be enhanced for this new one and that potentially tied into an announcement of that.
Maybe.
That's my theory slash my wishful thinking of what I hope to be the case.
Yeah. I have a theory that Bill Gates actually caused all of this.
Yeah, my theory, Donald Trump didn't get anything done because the deep state was keeping him down the whole time.
Yeah. Just as crazy as Tommy's Nintendo theory that they're holding off on these games that'll never come out, I'm starting to believe.
Yeah, midnight launch at a secret pizza parlor and I'm going to be first in line. But yeah, interesting. I mean, yeah, it has been over a year of rumors, and I think kind of even, well, I remember when the Switch Lite came out, that even then, before that announcement, it was like they're about to announce two new ones, a downgraded one and an upgraded one.
That's right.
And before even rumors started circulating,
before
it was rumulated, just the kind of common sense thing, like you said, of like, yeah, they always do this with their handheld stuff, right. So it just will happen at some point. I just really want that announcement.
Yeah, I don't.
I could go either way.
I was just being contrarian.
Not me.
I want them to announce I want them to announce official release date of a new speculative article that's coming out. I want to wait up until midnight to see a new report on CNN on July the 17th, and then we can discuss it on this podcast. I want to see a patent come out.
I want to be able to do the thing like we did when the Switch was called the NX.
Yes.
And just talk about it every week and go and like, is it coming? When's it here?
What a podcast.
Yeah.
When's it going to show up? I'm tired. I got a migraine.
I still have a dream of going back through all those episodes and compiling a best of our NX speculation. We could do the same thing with the Pro at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a best of our NX speculation. The end. There you go. That was it.
Oh, Adam, so cynical.
That's me. I got a trait.
Well, Adam, you're always very cynical about sort of digital rights ownership, licensing. Yes. You know, like you're a physical media guy because you don't like stuff being taken away by the internet.
I want to grip the media by the throat. Go, look what you did to Megan!
Goodbye, Meghan Markle.
Huh? Oh, no. the song.
Yeah. Something that apparently can get rid of digital information just as quickly as a company is a fire.
It turns out digital media is also physical.
Yes.
You just don't have it in your house.
Yeah, it's in someone else's house. And if that house burns down, all your history of playing in the game Rust is gone.
Or whichever server they're attached to. If like that'd be funny if like someone else's servers burned down. It's like, oh no, my Rust account got to... Anyway, the Rust people lost their servers in Europe.
Yeah. And they were like, look, we're rebuilding all the stuff, but your data, your information, your game history is gone forever.
That's the cloud thing, is that the cloud doesn't exist. Mm. It's just someone else's computer.
Right.
And if someone else decides to nose around in that computer or burn it to the ground, you're fucked.
Yeah.
We got to go back to living in the... We connect with nature, man.
Yeah, like...
CDs and DVDs. That was nature.
You like run around with like maybe just an axe and you like chop trees down and stuff. That's what happens in Rust.
Right,
that's
I
what
see.
Happens in Rust.
Exciting.
That's... Yeah. That's like a massive genre of game that we're not really into because Valheim... You guys been hearing about this?
I've been seeing it everywhere.
It's a similar kind of game. It is a cooperative survival crafting game.
Like semi, like multiplayer, but yep. not like competitive necessarily.
No, like
almost like an MMO type thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes. Right. Yeah, I think like region-based servers, yeah, massively multiplayer.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, it's a billion-dollar game.
They're extremely popular.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, it's no one's fault, obviously, unless someone deliberately lit it or... But I assume it's just an accident
right.
that happened. So it's like, it's a shame, but it really is a scary example of how flimsy...
How tangible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How, like, all this stuff of, like, oh, it's all backed up in the cloud. No, it isn't.
Right.
That's someone else's hard drive. Go yes. take it back. Like, regain people, the means of production.
Is it... It was PS5 that cloud saves are only a PS Plus thing? Is that right?
And on the PS4 and yeah, back right. on the PS3 as
and,
well.
And people are mad for cloud saves, and I've never really... Like, I've found it handy to transfer stuff from the PS4 to the PS5.
Yeah. Yep.
But aside from that, I've always thought, wouldn't you want your save files on your console?
I mean, I guess on the PS5, the fact that it's got such a relatively small hard drive makes sense. And if you are in a weird position where you're transferring yourself between two different locations,
right,
like with the Switch, which is the one that does it very badly for some of the games, like sure. Animal Crossing, you couldn't.
Yeah, Animal Crossing, for whatever reason, they think people are gonna somehow exploit the game with it, but yeah, I have it for
in
the
a game
Switch.
Where like the people playing it generated a slave trade when this wasn't an active yeah. So
I have it for, yeah, I think for the Switch is the main one where it is good for the peace of mind because it's something that you're taking out with you. So there's high potential to lose the physical right. console or something happen to it or it get damaged. And the idea that, yeah, you could get a replacement and then all your data is just there in the cloud.
Mm.
And also the much more specific position of having two switches and just being able to pick up the other one and the save data is carried across. It is great for stuff like that. It is a little bit more, peace of mind. If something happens to it, you're not going to be... And same with like your PS5 or whatever, if it breaks down and is completely unsalvageable, you won't have to start all this stuff
and
from the start.
Generally, a server farm doesn't burn down.
Sure.
And
it's
often
safe
they
in your own home.
They have
it's,
backup.
It's the exception,
stuff,
not the rule.
Yeah, exactly.
For anyone not familiar with the industry, we should point that out.
We haven't just not been reporting on every server fire.
So, it's a shame for anyone playing that. That would be real fucking annoying.
It is one of those things that people are hugely into and have put and to lose your... Even though, it's easy to look at and go, it doesn't matter to start again. But, if you've put a lot of time into it and, like, those...
And that's one of those, thousands of hours games.
Right.
It is kind of cool from the perspective of there's a generation of people who never had a PS1 memory card die on them who now get to experience that feeling.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean,
and
I think...
And also fire is cool.
Yeah.
From that perspective,
yeah,
it's
also
cool,
cleansing flame would have been fantastically beautiful to watch.
That's it. I think everyone has, of a certain age, probably around our ages, has had this experience in one form or another.
Yeah.
Growing up, whether or not they're into a game that has cloud saves. Like, my dog ate a Nintendo controller that had a memory card in the back of it. Lost everything in that.
A memory card project was due that day. I don't believe.
I saved over a Final Fantasy VII save file on a memory card that would have been like 60 hours of progress.
Right.
Yep.
Fucking stupid.
Mine's my fault as well because I put peanut butter on the memory card, which is why my dog went for it in the first place.
My dog's gonna lick this memory card's balls. My brother started a new game on my Pokemon cartridge.
I had a family friend come around and use. I can't remember what game it was, but it was like someone significantly younger than me, and it was like, I just put them in front of this. What dick around? What's the worst that could happen? And then they. Just because they're pushing buttons, not knowing what's what, they've just gone, delete, start a new game, all the progress gone. Yeah, yeah.
Normally, it's crazy that could happen as well when a company is doing that they don't have a backup somewhere off, like...
Mm. Well, the backup's probably in the same building that the fire was in.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, all, like, big companies, you remember, there's that story about how Pixar nearly deleted Toy Story 2 by mistake.
Wow.
But someone had happened to have, against company rules, I believe, take a copy home to work on it.
Right.
But, like, they just accidentally deleted the entire rack of servers that Toy Story 2 was on.
Wow.
Yeah.
We could have been living in a world without the worst Toy Story movie.
Yeah. Imagine if that had gone straight to 3.
Yeah.
And it would have been better.
It would have been way better.
And they wouldn't have had to go like, oh, we got to take out some of this Kelsey Grammer stuff now. Fuck.
I think 4 is the worst.
Oh, I forgot 4 existed.
Yeah. 4 is a bit of fun.
Yeah,
4 is okay. Fine.
Mm.
I remember liking 2. I don't know. Yeah, I think it gets a bad rap.
Okay. From me.
From you, specifically. Yeah.
My name is Ben and I'm here to say Toy Story 2 was the worst in a way.
Didn't even
not how I would have done it, but okay.
Didn't even back myself to say rap. It gets a bad rap. I said, I think it gets a bad rap.
Yeah, so that's a shame, but and you know, it. I guess it's no one's fault, but also it's strange that there's no backups there, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't quite understand the scale of a game like that or how difficult it is to go, I'll back this up.
Yeah.
Like, I doubt they're buying a thumb drive.
Yeah.
Be interested to hear from anyone in our community who's a Rust player who's been affected by it. We never have anyone, you know, hit us
up. All the Rust heads out there, 132110.
Rusty.
What's your craziest experience on Rust? Have you ever had a girlfriend tell you something weird on a Rust session?
My entire game got deleted. That's pretty weird, hey?
Damn, Ben from Matt Parramatta. That's pretty crazy.
Pan Matt Parramatta.
Yeah. You've never heard of that place?
Mount Panorama?
Panacotta.
Oh.
Yeah, thanks for calling. All right, here's Hooberstank. My name is Hooberstank. I'm here to say Toy Story 2 is my favorite play. Hooberstank don't understand what movies are.
Yeah. No, well, they maybe saw it in 3D, so they thought it was happening, literally was happening right in front of them.
Didn't happen with 2, you fucking
idiot.
No,
I know.
You know what is a 3D game?
Mm.
No, I mean, not in the way that it pops out of the screen, but it's in three dimensions. Mm-hmm. You and I, Ben, and I believe you, Tommy, all played Maquette.
You believe me. Great to know.
Finally. I believe Tommy.
It was a free game on PS Plus for I think just the PS5 this month, right?
I think you're right.
Mm.
Maquette?
Yep.
Maquette.
We had to look up how to pronounce it.
We weren't happy with the pronunciation we heard.
We found a couple of different ones, didn't we?
Right, yes.
It was in British English. And if you believe the way they say everything, then you're going to sound like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Megan was a lawyer. That was a terrible British accent. But yeah, we all played
Marquette.
The entirety of this game.
Mm.
I've not played the entirety.
Well, it's 3 hours long, so
yeah, I've played maybe, I don't know, maybe an hour. I'm up to the second little area, near the end of the second little area.
Yeah, it's actually, it's longer than I thought it was going to be. I thought it took me probably 5 hours total.
Okay.
And like sort of, I did like an hour session, you know, like sort of took it slowly at the start and then just barreled through the entire second half, I think.
Sure.
Which was a good... probably 3 hours of just fucking around.
I did the classic honk it all in one go and get a migraine the next day.
Yeah.
Okay.
And become irrationally annoyed at some things that are just fine.
In the game?
Yes.
Nah, there's some bad shit in this game. It's not very good.
It's a puzzle game and
it's rational.
The setup of it is that you're kind of walking around a 3D space. You've got like a little kind of diorama thing in front of you and you are also... in that diorama.
Yeah.
So in front of you, there's a smaller version of the world that you're in, and then outside of that, there's an even bigger version of that.
Yes.
So all the puzzles revolve around finding an object in one of the spaces, and then you can either drop it into the diorama, and then there'll be like a huge version of it behind you, or you can do the reverse of that to make things smaller to fit places they couldn't fit. So basically, you have all these little rooms that you're trying to work out how to like open doors and make bridges out of things and things of that nature.
Yeah.
It's a cool concept.
It's a great concept. And it gets a bit more complicated the further in you go, but I don't want to spoil any of that because it's interesting. It's creative how it sort of builds on it and takes it out of the maquette at some stage.
Yeah. They do the puzzles you would expect from that concept of like, figure out a way to this is too big at the moment, but you can't get in here because there's a wall in your way now, so you've got to find a different way through. And like some other mechanics that come in different levels where there's like like gems that will be the color of a wall, and you can only go through that kind of wall if you're holding the right colored gem.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so it's like, well, you've got to put it somewhere so you can get it later and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The puzzles are mostly good.
Yeah, I love them. I'm not... I never finish puzzle games.
Right.
I rarely do. I've played Portal 1 and 2 all the way through, but I often get to a point where there's something about it that's either I can't figure it out or I'm just bored of it.
Yeah.
Or the framework or the wrapping is like not engaging enough for me to continue. So I always tap out at some point.
Sometimes it's easy enough to just be like, yeah, I get it.
Right.
And I could look up, I'm stuck on this one and I could look up a guide, but that feels like it sort of defeats the point.
Mm.
This is kind of how I feel. I go, yeah, I've seen enough of this. I kind of get what it's doing.
Right.
I don't really need to see the very end of it to feel fulfilled by this.
Mm.
But this, what's also worth pointing out about this is that it has this kind of, the wrapping of it is that it's a, you're kind of getting bits of a story about this relationship. So sometimes games like this are just like, you're here doing this stuff for seemingly no apparent reason.
Like The Witness. You're just on a weird island. There's not really a story going on. You're just doing some puzzles.
And there's a few of them, a lot of them, that are like, you're in a sci-fi world where a computer is making you do it.
Right,
like the Turing test and obviously Portal and a bunch of other ones.
Yeah, what was the one from last year? Manifold Garden.
Oh, yes.
Was no setup at all.
Talos Principle, Antichamber.
Right.
I love this type of game.
Yeah, right.
As well. I didn't really like, what the fuck was that one called? Where a similar thing with perspective.
Maquette.
No, you had to, if you got close to a chess piece, it'd be big and then you could move it.
Superliminal.
Superliminal.
Which I haven't played yet. I suspect I would like more than you did.
Probably, because my issues with that are very similar to my issues with this, where the main thing is that these puzzles are physics-based, usually.
Right.
You are manipulating an object and getting it into a certain position so that it is useful to you when you go to that part of the world that it is now in.
Yeah.
And it always, or almost always, feels quite bad to move stuff and position it in this game.
I would say it only happened once to me where I was like, the controls are hindering me.
Right. But
the rest of it I was like, this is fine. This is like, you know, every other game I've played in Unity or whatever this is probably made in where it's like, it's a little imprecise, but...
Yeah, and it's,
you know, the enjoyment for me is the stuff that is happening inside my head.
Yeah.
More.
Right.
There's some elements of it where you can kind of do things by accident where it's kind of like you can kind of hop into the... You can kind of hop on the diorama and walk around it and then use like those gems, for example, to open the smaller versions of... But it's kind of... I think sometimes you can kind of do that stuff by accident.
I broke this game three or four times or maybe throughout playing it by having a different answer to the puzzle that then wouldn't work because it wasn't the game's
one. That happened once to me where it was like... So I was playing with my girlfriend and it was like we were sort of collaborating, trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
And she's not much of a gamer, so like she would often suggest things where I'm like, well, I know, because I know like game design, that's not going to work.
Right,
that's
right.
Actually not, like to a layperson, it's like, oh, well, that's probably, that cog probably moves, so try that. I'm like, no, because it would be glowing or there would be some other indication.
Right.
But there was one where we were like, no, we just got to put this gem on the top of this roof and let it roll down here and then it'll go there.
Yeah.
And that's the only solution we can find. And then it was like, it's half working and it's half not. But the solution was something completely different.
And so there is one bit where you do roll a gem down a thing and then you've got to lift another gem up to the ceiling where the thing is, where that color is, to let it fall down.
Yeah.
And you can move the thing in such a way that it doesn't quite reach. And then you go, oh, I guess it's not that. I guess it's too high and I've got to find another way up. Or you can make a bridge out of an object that, because of the placement thing, so the way it controls is you have one button to pick something up and another button to sort of place it in the world. So it'll like either be holding the object or kind of hovering it in front of you.
Yeah.
And you can pull it towards you or away or rotate it using the shoulder buttons. And it is very imprecise, I found, because it can like block you from even... putting the object in front of you to manipulate it if there's not enough space in the game's opinion, which oftentimes it needs you to do that thing, but it will also tell you there's not enough space. So you know what I mean? It's like, it's just real clunky with that sort of stuff. So sometimes there are solutions that you come to that you then think you're wrong about because the game puts a physical hurdle in your way that isn't meant to be there.
Yeah, it doesn't. Right. Something doesn't quite fit, or right. yeah, or then sometimes you can just be sort of moving something around and just going from A to B and sort of unlock a thing by accident because right. it just happens. You just happen to be like hovering it over to some to try yeah, a true. Different solution, and in doing that you know open that thing or trigger that thing or whatever, and it's like, oh cool, I've done it, but it doesn't feel satisfying because you've done it by right. accident. You haven't, like, you don't get the like dopamine thing of like, oh, I've worked this out.
Right.
There's a level where you've got some steps and you use them to move around. Mm-hmm. It is very
whoa.
Easy.
Whoa.
You can go up, you can go down.
You can go side to side, but you're not going to get very far.
No.
So
enjoy the view though, buddy.
Hey, if you love that particular step, yeah. then hang out.
There is a very easy way to interpret a broken part of the gate that is exactly at jumping over height if you put the steps next to it as the way to go over the steps when you are in the version of the world where you are small and the right. world is big. If you do that, you get completely fucking stuck in the area that you go into.
Yeah, I got stuck a couple of times.
There's no way to get out. I had a few bugs where it was like something broke in such a way that I was like carrying one of those gems, but it wasn't working anymore to open the colors that were...
Yeah, that happened to me once
had to
as
reload
well.
Saves. So like just stuff like that makes this... made it for me very frustrating to play, because the thing with puzzle games for me is... When you have the solution to the puzzle in your head, it should be trivial to make that manifest in the world.
I mean, it should be, but yes. Yeah, so this game is the debut game of a developer.
Yeah.
I assume it's a very small company. It's an indie yep. company that was published by a large publisher, or like a large indie publisher, Annapurna.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, yeah, similar to other games in the past, has been pushed by Sony. Like in this right. case, it's free, so it's not as much of a like... There's not as many expectations on it.
No.
But I definitely...
It's also got more eyes on it than yeah, it would yeah. if it just kind of like snuck onto the eShop and,
yeah.
and got a bit of word of mouth of like, hey, if you want a cute little puzzle game.
But I knew that going in. This was like, I was like, who is this? Because I love the art style. And I was like, oh, is this The Witness People or something?
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh no, this is just an indie developer. It's their first game. So, and I didn't find it frustrating except for literally one point where I was like, this is fucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, it's not going to be perfect. This is a small team. This is yeah. not Valve making Portal.
I haven't had any of those like big kind of frustrating moments, but knowing that it is a little precarious does mean that you're sort of walking around the world a bit like you right. and going to solve something. I've kind of, even though I haven't encountered that feeling of like, there's a way to solve it that's not the way to solve it.
Yeah.
It still does, even without having that experience, like it definitely feels like that's the case. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's obvious pretty early on that that's going to be the case, that you'll be able to accidentally do something right the wrong way.
But the problem
kind of have
is,
a bit of trepidation like going to solve things because it's like, oh, is this right? Or
if you could do something right the wrong way, that wouldn't be as big of a deal because at least you'd be able to get it. But you can do something that seems as though it should work, but then the game will have some kind of artificial block to stop that from happening.
Right,
does that
right,
make
right.
sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Like in games sometimes where it's like, you've found a key.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah, you can't get in. Or, you know, you've got a thing that is the same as every other thing, but the game's just decided, nah, that one just for no reason doesn't open this door.
Right.
And it's like, no, but I've got a key. Mm. All the other keys in this game are interchangeable in the locks.
It has
one of this one.
A touch of that to it at certain points. Some of the puzzles, there were like two or three of the puzzles that I really enjoyed. There's a few towards the end that... like one's about manipulating objects in multiple different spaces at the same time.
Yes.
Which are cool.
Yeah.
But I did find up until that point that the puzzles also were kind of boring because often they were just like, yeah, you got to make the thing big as a bridge.
Right.
And it was like, you know, it was less creative than I guess what I was looking for.
One of the kind of gaps in logic that I found annoying with the gems thing.
Yeah.
And I guess we're not really spoiling it, but like, so that mentioning the you get the little gems that are color coordinated to doors that open the doors if
yeah.
you walk near them, if you're holding them. And
Doom.
So initially you kind of think, okay, well, if this opens the door when it's near it, if I drop this here in the diorama world, then it's next to the door
right.
and the door will just be open and I can walk through.
No, you've got
but
to be
they
holding
don't, you've
it.
You've got to be holding it for it to work. And it's just kind of like, why? Like, it kind of doesn't really make...
Yeah.
It sort of doesn't make sense. Like, there's no good logical reason for that to be the case, like, well, within the context of the world.
Well, there's no reason for a gem to open a force field door. Well, so sure. It's like, no, well, you just operate by the rules of the puzzle. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it's one of those things where you go, oh, hang on, I've solved... Like,
right.
Oh, I've done this. I can drop this here and
the feeling is that you're trying to figure out what the person who designed it wanted you to do rather than trying to figure out how to solve the puzzle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a slight difference, but it's a less fun one for me. To be clear, this game is free if you have a PS5 and I don't regret the time playing it.
I am enjoying it even though, like, and you're right, Ben. Like, a lot of these criticisms are probably... unfair because, it's a small team. It's their first game. And
yeah, they're probably going like, we tried to fix that, but we just didn't have time because there's two of us.
Oh, sure.
And the conceit of it is great.
The end result is still the same. Like, if I open a restaurant and I'm bad at cooking, it's still fair to be like, well, you didn't figure out how to cook this meal that you gave me.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I don't know how to cook.
Yeah. But if someone else eats the meal and they're like, this is my favorite meal, then it's not a bad meal.
No,
I
ate the whole thing.
It's just a matter of taste.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, like, mechanically it just has
I ate the whole damn thing.
Yeah, if one person gets diarrhea from it and the other person eats the whole meal and loves it,
yeah.
Well, is the chef in the wrong?
Mm. I love diarrhea, baby.
Because of the one person that got diarrhea.
I spent the whole next day in the toilet and I had a fantastic time.
And I do think it is a cool feeling, like, you know, dropping something small into the diorama and then seeing a big version of it appear behind you.
The concept itself is very cool.
The concept is cool, and I like the aesthetic, especially the opening moments where you're kind of just walking through a little garden and there's a folk song playing. I loved the beginning, like 15 minutes, I thought was fantastic. So, and then there are other uses of, I assume, licensed music in it.
It's
nearly all of which I've hated so far.
I like the music a lot in this game.
There's one song I didn't like. But I think also these are like bands from the area that these people, the developers, live. So it's like people they would have known and worked with.
That's the other aspect of this game that we haven't really talked about. So it's got all these puzzles that make sense because they're all similar mechanics and they're doing this thing. And then it's got kind of pasted over the top of it this story about a relationship going through its life.
Yep.
And... the two have weirdly nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, the puzzles are in no way thematically similar to what you're experiencing in the story.
They are sometimes very loosely.
The environments kind of are.
Vaguely are.
I guess there's one where he talks about a key and then you get a key.
Yeah.
I guess that happens one time.
But there's some that kind of... sort of.
Or he's like, I've got to find my way out of it.
There's some that link, and then there's some that are just random.
Yeah.
Like, it's very inconsistent with, like, and also...
the world itself, I suppose. Like, the environments represent things that are in this story, but
what
you're actually doing with the puzzles is a completely separate puzzle game.
Well, in the beginning of it...
which isn't necessarily bad, but it's just, it's noticeable.
The beginning of it, you kind of walk through a garden and you get this setup of this person kind of cleaning out stuff and finding these memories of the relationship. And then, you're being fed these little bits of this story while you're doing these puzzles. And I don't know, maybe this changes at the end, but it's never really explained or made clear, like, so what's going on? Are you this person in this, like, in this small world? Like, it's never really... it never really makes anything out of, like, so why are you now doing a puzzle? Why are you now trapped in this puzzle world and thinking about your relationship? Like, it's kind of, I kind of would have liked to see those two sort of like linked together a little bit
more, I guess, it's
potentially.
Just, the link is the vague idea that to have closure in a relationship, you have to figure it out in your head, right? Like, the puzzles are like a representation of, coming to an emotional resolution in your head.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... like, obviously, you can't literally visualize, like, oh, if I change my perspective on this fight we had, then I'll feel better about it.
Right. Well, in a relationship, big things become small things and small things become big things, which is also...
There's a game that came out for iPhones a while ago that I forget the name of, which is incredibly annoying. Yeah, that's the one. And it's about a relationship between some birds and some pigs.
Yeah, there you go.
It is not a healthy relationship.
Sometimes you like throw yourself into something and it just ends up crashing to the ground.
Sometimes you're a little yellow triangle one and that means that you curve around,
I think
it was.
I think so, yeah.
but it was about a relationship and it was a puzzle game. And what a cool part of this game is that as the relationship fell apart, the puzzles became impossible to solve.
Oh, right.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
and
right.
So there are ways to make that stuff tie in.
More tangibly, yeah.
I think the reason I noticed that it was nothing to do with the game as well is because I was enjoying the puzzles more by a long shot than I was enjoying the story that is pasted over them, which you enjoyed.
I enjoyed like the presentation of
right.
it. And the visualization. By the end of it, I enjoyed the arc and the actual story.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy the voice acting. I would say maybe that's the only aspect that I didn't, which is important when it's a verbal story.
It's very strange as well because it's Bryce Dallas Howard and Seth Gable.
Yeah.
Who are professional actors. Who
And a couple in real life.
And a couple in real life who I assumed were the developers' friends.
Yeah, right.
Who just didn't know what they were doing.
I kind of thought that at the start as well.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible job that they've done.
Yeah.
And again, like, whatever, criticism is annoying, but fucking hell.
Well, for professional Hollywood actors, I think it's reasonable to expect professional performance.
It makes it very difficult to get attached to this story that I also found to be incredibly boring because it is just such a standard relationship story to the point where if a friend told me about this and it had happened to them in real life, I would be bored.
I think it's...
Wait, your friend tells you that they went through a breakup and then they woke up in a world where that was infinitely repeating.
No, because
there were big
he never says he woke
things.
Up in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
This whole story is just about him going like, yeah, we dated a bit.
That's interesting. So I played this with my girlfriend.
Right.
She, the entire time we were playing it, assumed that the woman was the protagonist.
Right.
Which it's never made clear.
It is.
To be, yeah. I've been
it
assuming
early
that
on.
Too.
Is it?
He no, says
I
d- that...
I've seen reviews that say that it's not.
I'm pretty sure early on in The Garden he says that he is writing this letter. Or whatever. He is... I'm pretty sure that early on it
but
says
I think
that
it,
it's
I
from
assumed
his
the female was the protagonist too.
Yeah.
Based sort of on nothing.
It's
but
certainly...
Yeah.
That he has written in the thing, but I don't think it's made clear if she's come across the thing or if he's reading it out loud.
But there's a point where it definitely takes his perspective by the end. Like, you are going through this part
Does
of the story
definitely?
That he's describing. Well, there's the section, and again, sort of spoiler, but not really, where he's like, yeah, I left the house and went for a walk. And you literally do that in the game. That is the one point where it kind of ties in to
yeah,
what you're doing
true.
In the game. I think
that
in The Garden at the very start, there was something that made it like, oh, okay, I'm the guy.
I don't know. I'm not 100%. I still think it could be that she maybe is reading his notebook or something like that. Because I think that, yeah, for most of it or a lot of it, it's unclear who's meant to be the main perspective because they are just kind of going back and forth telling this story, which I think is cool.
I think he tells it the whole time because in the coffee shop when they meet as well, you like stay with him after she leaves. You 100%
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about this. Maybe I should look it up
because then at the
this
end,
might be annoying people.
At the end as well, there's a thing that he says. Look, this will be a spoiler.
Okay.
Skip 10 seconds. He says that he decides not to send the letter that he's writing.
Yeah, okay. That kind of...
There's the smoking gun.
Good. But... Yeah, I think it's interesting.
But that is weird because I do feel like it is, for whatever reason, and I'd be interested to know. It's interesting that your partner bought this, Ben. Yeah, I'd be interested to see how many other people just had this gut instinct that it is from her perspective because it kind of feels to me like it is. I haven't taken in those cues that are quite subtle, but it for whatever reason, it just does feel like it's framed as...
It isn't a one-sided story for sure. Like it comes at the relationship as viewing the relationship rather than viewing this guy's interpretation of it.
Yeah,
because you'll kind of walk through the environment and you'll see things kind of written, but then anytime there's voice acting... And so far in the bit I've played, it's the two of them together.
And
it's never just him narrating it, so it's kind of, yeah.
Well, it definitely... turns from that at some point. And also early on it's like we shared a sketchbook and like so the little drawings that pop up when it animates this writing is both of them sketching because it was their sketchbook together.
My biggest issue with this is that it's very similar to something that I played and finished recently on the Oculus called A Fisherman's Tale, which I think I talked about at the time, but it is the same thing. You're in a lighthouse. You've got a little model of a lighthouse in front of you. Mm. You pull the roof off the model and then you look up and you can see like right. outside. So it's combination of it's like a little bit more of a consistent world because mm. the whole thing is like there's this big, big storm coming and you kind of have to find your way out of the lighthouse. And it's narrated to you. It's, you know, it's a little twee, mm. but it's a little more consistent and engaging and interesting. And I've just sort of done these versions of all these puzzles before with also the fact that they're in VR. So the effect yeah. of like a bigger right. version of the world above you
yeah.
is just staggering when you're in VR, like looking up and seeing this gigantic version of your little avatar in the mm. game that is moving around, you know, in the way that you're moving with the move controllers and stuff. So just the effect of all of this stuff is, for me, a little neutered by the fact that I did what I think is kind of a more impressive version of this game,
mm.
You know, quite recently. Mm. But that's nothing to do with the game. That's just kind of right. what I'm bringing to it. Like, I think that Fisherman's Tale, for me, kind of does all this stuff a bit more successfully.
Mm.
But I do still like everything that's there. I like the puzzles and, yeah, I'm not minding the relationshipy stuff over the top of it. I wish it was all just a little more cohesively tied yeah. in together, but
and the story thing is just a taste thing. I just don't find these stories I don't like it when there is magical importance put on a normal relationship, because I find that to be a bad trait in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so it just makes me feel a bit when I see it in a bit of media. Does that
yeah.
make sense?
I think my partner was like, this is really twee, this story stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it's also very relatable. It's like, it's common, but that's yeah. the kind of stories that people latch onto because they've experienced them. So I think it's like relatable in its sort of commonplaceness.
Yeah, I think that's true. And just like, it didn't get me at all.
Right.
But it is purely a taste thing.
Right,
because it's
yeah.
just a story. And it's the same with movies and stuff. There are plenty of movies that are about that sort of thing that are good and I understand are well liked.
Yes.
But it's crazy that everyone can be incorrect.
It's it is hard to do scripted beginning of relationship stuff well, because yeah. often when you're getting to know someone, you know, you have your little kind of like naff twee little things
totally.
Back and forth.
They always seem
a bit cute to you in the moment,
yeah. right.
but seeing it written out and performed, it's like there's
they
an episode of
forced.
Master of None mm. that I just fucking hated, where he's on the date where they go to Austin or something,
right?
And it's all this like stuff that they kind of riffed out apparently, and it's just awful. Mm. It's like if yeah. I lived that, I would think this is the greatest thing in the world. But if it's up on the screen, it's hard.
It's
really
yeah.
hard to do. Like yeah,
very much so. It always comes across as like a. Annoying.
Yeah.
You know, like, and remember, donkeys can't swim.
Right.
Remember that, honey? And you're like, oh, get the fuck out of my
yeah.
face
yes.
with that shit.
Your little in jokes.
A relationship
that
is meant to be quiet, it is meant to be non reciprocated.
Yeah. Yeah. Your little in jokes like, that you have with a partner, like, they're everything to the two of you, mm. but it's like, you know, we all do comedy. Like, you'd never go,
yeah,
guys, you're not gonna believe it. Like, this is what we call each other. This is yeah. our little pet name. Isn't this a scream?
Yeah,
you just you know, yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't do anything with that story that is not commonly done with that story.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
suppose is the thing.
I mean, yeah, but I do appreciate the fact that they're
it is presented
that they've
nicely,
had a crack
yeah,
that they're doing yeah. something more than. Like we said,
yeah.
it's a simulation, it's a computer program, right. or it's just never explained. I like that they've had a little go at, yeah, let's also write a story and try and tell it through this way and have it kind of weave in and out.
It's presented very nicely, like visually very nicely.
Yeah.
The text and the drawings kind of showing up as these little scenes play out is good.
Mm. Yeah, and for everything we've said about how it's kind of, sometimes it's not clear like what it wants you to do, the ways that the bits of the story come in and the bits of text and then the bits where it starts, like the world will kind of transform and mm. it'll start narrating. That is a good little cue that will pop up that you go, oh, okay, I'm in the right area now. Like, yeah. You'll go around a corner
oh, right, yeah.
and a bit of text will come up on a wall saying, oh, we often joked in the garden about, you know, da-da-da. And
yes.
it's like seeing that, I think, is a good way of cueing you, like, okay, I'm meant to be walking in this direction and go, right. Like, I kind of appreciate that that stuff is there as a, yeah, as a rough guide.
Yeah. The music as well, I want to say again, I thought was really great. Like, yeah. It comes in at good moments and I thought every song in there I liked.
There's one song that I guess is like maybe a bit Pearl Jammy or something. Which
I thought it might be the bluesy one that you didn't like.
Just not a fan of that style. But yeah, the rest of it I loved. And yeah, as like sort of these quote unquote like cinematic EQs or like, I don't know, creative cues of like scene transitions or like you said, the sort of markers of what to do. It was pretty subtle.
What to do. The Muckets.
Oh.
The Muckets.
The fucking Muckets over here.
Hey, whoa, what am I in a fucking Muckets? Yeah, you're fucking huge.
I think the story in the second half is much more palatable because of what kind of story it is.
Yeah.
It's less cutesy and twee. And I liked that it went there. I liked that that's where the story went.
Oh, it went there.
But yeah, I loved it as a whole experience, start to finish. I was like, yeah, so this is like a 9 out of 10. The one is some clunky controls, but I thought it was great.
I'd love having a game like this show up on the PS Plus.
Yeah,
like love having a
3 hour thing,
something that would have gone under the radar otherwise. Mm, yeah.
Totally. As a like release style or whatever, having a 3 hour game ish that is free, I don't care at all that I didn't really like it, because I am very happy to have experienced it and want more like this that I don't necessarily like.
Yeah,
sure,
because
sure.
Watching a bad movie is fine,
right?
You know what I mean? And so I'm not like pissed off at this game or anything, which would be reasonable in other cases, but just like it, the fact that it didn't gel with my tastes is fun in this case almost. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's cool. I think, I would admit that like not everything's perfect, but it's like these
people. Big of you.
Very big of me.
And now it's very small of you. This is a crazy world.
These
now you're a bridge.
Now I'm a glowing red
cube. Oh, you were meant to fit in this keyhole, but you didn't at first. Okay.
Keep slipping out of the keyhole. That's the keyhole's fault.
I like that these people have these ideas, even if they're disparate ideas, you know, the storytelling and the puzzles. It's like, it's cool that they put this into a package and that a lot of people hopefully are seeing it.
Yeah.
And if it goes well, which I think reviews have been positive overall, I'd like to see them do something with, maybe a more hefty dev team that can fine tune stuff like controls.
Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap us up on this edition of Marquette Manor.
Yeah. I want to quickly review a game that I played.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's just going to be a quick review and I only played it for a short amount of time.
Okay.
But this great game called Blind Drive. So it's, I don't know if it's their first game, but it's developed by this group called Lo-Fi People, and they're like an art collective. They've done a lot of like installations and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think, one of, if not their only sort of actual game.
You sent us the trailer for this.
Mm.
And it's great stylistically.
Yeah. And hey, guess what? The game is all style, because the concept is you wake up, you've got a blindfold in front of your eyes,
mm-hmm.
an interface pops up, and then someone starts talking to you about this experiment that you're a part of where you have to drive without seeing.
Damn.
And this game,
you want to play a little game.
It's like a guy with
how Saw sounds?
You want to play a little game.
You want to play, because all I know about Saw is that video of the guy breaking the tricycle.
Yeah.
So I've never seen a movie.
You want to play a little game.
You want to play a little game.
Yeah, I think that's it.
The Saw guy. Okay, so.
So it's a Saw guy being like, hey, you signed up for this medical experiment. What the experiment is you have to drive with a blindfold on.
Okay.
And so, if you looked at the trailer, and I suggest everyone listening does, because it's hard to describe, but it's like you have this sort of thing in the middle of the screen or in the middle of the blindfold that moves left and right when you press left and right.
Okay.
And it's basically an indicator of your steering wheel.
Right.
And in the top left, you have your lives. And in the top right-ish, you have like the distance you've gone and the amount of points you've got.
Okay.
And this guy is like, you just got to drive. And the only way you can judge how to avoid obstacles is by hearing. So this is a headphones game, and you basically can hear as cars approach from the left and the right, and you're dodging. And then more mechanics are introduced.
Are there buildings and like, is it like static objects that you wouldn't necessarily be able to hear a building?
No, it's only moving objects.
Unless you're like a boomer who lives in Fitzroy, and then apparently all the buildings are fucking noisy.
That would be an incredibly unfair conceit for the game.
Yes.
Oh, you hit a brick wall. Sorry, champ. Yeah, you can't hear bricks, can you? Yeah. Game over.
You drive past the tote and ask for them to turn it down. No, so it's all moving.
Okay.
And there are ones that like come up behind you, but they're mostly, like cars that are passing left and right. You're driving down a highway, essentially, and you're dodging the cars.
Mm-hmm.
And more distractions are thrown at you. Stuff that happens to the screen, stuff that happens audibly.
Cool.
And it's really creative. It's a lot of like, at the start you're driving with the windows down, obviously. And then
it makes you feel sick otherwise.
It's one stage, the experiment guy closes the windows, so it's like, I can fucking barely hear the cars that are coming towards me.
Wow.
So it's a really interesting game where the perspective is like, how do you make a game with only sound?
I'm cold. Your only way of telling whether you're going to crash or not.
Can I smoke in here?
Where's the aux cord?
you guys,
let's go through Macca's.
Did you design this game? Because like it's literally like, yeah. Well, what would you do if you could just come up with a bunch of these sort of ideas?
Yeah, right.
That sounds fun.
It does sound cool and really creative.
Yeah, the visual design is sick. Like it's great. It's very subtle, but it's a certain aesthetic that's done really well. The animations are super slick. It's really, I guess they've gone, we have limitations on what we can do, so we're going to do something that we can do really well.
What should we do for the graphics? What about this? No graphics.
Yes. Oh, fuck. Big graphics server burned down. No one could have ever predicted that this would happen in our digital future.
Fuck it. We do it. No graphics.
No graphics. Turn the graphics off.
So I play it on Steam and it's also a mobile game.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the whole thing is it's a headphones experience.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Blind Drive. Check it out. I really enjoyed it.
Blind Drive.
I was just thinking I'm going on a getaway with my girlfriend for 3 days. I was like, maybe I'll give it a go then. It's like, probably not the best look romantic getaway. Just chuck the headphones on in the corner of the room. Completely black myself out from the time away with my partner.
Where are you going? What's the address?
Daylesford. Number 1 Daylesford Road, Daylesford.
Hell yeah.
Nice. How are you going to get there?
I'm driving, actually.
Blindfolded or no?
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, good question. Well, Adam, you and I, in about a week's time, we're doing a gig together in Bendigo. So, hey, maybe we can recreate this game.
Yeah.
More like Bendigo, because it's only us two.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. In summary, Macat, Ben thumbs up, me thumbs down, Tommy thumbs middle, it sounds like.
Thumbs middle.
Blind Drive, Ben thumbs up. Us two, undecided.
Yep.
Yes. End of episode.
All right, guys. Thanks very much for listening. Check out our website, filthycasuals.com.au, for the links to our social media, all that kind of stuff. We've got the Heavy Rain Let's Plays on YouTube, which have been heaps of fun to do so far. We've got the Patreon, where you can get a bonus episode every week. Come and see both Adam and I doing our shows in the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Mine starts March the 30th at 7:30 p.m. It's called Meatball, and you're on...
I'm doing a show with Luca Muller and Peter Jones, who I also do a podcast with called Ooh Spooky. And we're doing, the three of us doing stand-up. It's called Threes Comedy with, and then our names. And you can search that on the website. It starts on the 24th of March, I believe.
Great.
Yeah, at the same venue.
Exactly. Cooper's in. Check all that stuff out. That's all we got to plug. Mm. We will see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Do a doughy. Do a doughy. Close your eyes and do a doughy. Rip a doughy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.